thieves looked at one another and then all spoke at once. "The Thieves Guild, fine, no problem. We like the Thieves Guild, can't wait. Thieves Guild, here I come. Fine body of men, firm but fair." "Good," said Carrot. "Then everyone's happy." "Oh, yes." He dug into his money pouch. "Here's 5 pence for the loaf, Mr. Ironcross. I've handled the other one, but you should be able to sand it off with no trouble." The dwarf blinked at the coins.
"You want to pay me for saving my money?" he said.
"As a taxpayer, you are entitled to the protection of the watch," said Carrot. There was a delicate pause. Mr. Ironcrust stared at his feet. One or two of the other dwarfs started to snigger. "I'll tell you what," said Carrot in a kindly voice. "I'll come round when I get a moment and help you fill in the forms. How about that?" A thief broke the embarrassed silence.
Could your little dog let go of my arm, please?"
The wolf released its grip, jumped down and padded over to Carrot, who raised his hand to his helmet respectfully. "Good day to you all," he said, and strode away. Thieves and victims watched him go.
"Is he real?" said the quick thinker.
There was a growl from the baker, then,
"You bastards," he shouted. "You bastards!"
What? You got your money back, haven't you?"
Two of his employees had to hold Mr. Ironcrust back.
3 years, he said. 3 years and no one bothered. 3 bloody years and not so much as a knock at the door. And he'll ask me, oh yes, he'll be nice about it. He'll probably even go and get the extra forms so I won't be put to the trouble. Why couldn't you buggers have just run away?
Vimes peered around the shadowy, musty room. The voice might as well have come from a tomb. A panicky look crossed the face of the little herald.
"Perhaps Sir Samuel would be kind enough to step this way," said the voice.
It was chilly, clipping every syllable with precision. It was the kind of voice that didn't blink.
That is, in fact, dragon, said Red Crescent.
Vimes reached for his sword.
"Dragon, King of Arms," said the man.
"King of Arms?" said Vimes.
"Merely a title," said the voice. "Pray enter."
For some reason, the words re-spelled themselves in Vimes's hindbrain as "pray enter."
"King of Arms," said the voice of Dragon, as Vimes passed into the shadows of the inner sanctum. "You will not need your sword, Commander. I have been Dragon King of Arms for more than 500 years, but I do not breathe fire, I assure you."
"Ha ha 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 ha,"
said Vimes. He couldn't see the figure clearly. The light came from a few high and grubby windows and several dozen candles that burned with black-edged flames. There was a suggestion of hunched shoulders in the shape before him.
"Pray be seated," said Dragon King of Arms,
"and I would be most indebted if you would look to your left and raise your chin."
"And expose my neck, you mean," said Vimes.
"Ah ha 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 ha."
The figure picked up a candelabra and moved closer. A hand so skinny as to be skeletal gripped Vimes's chin and moved it gently this way and that.
"Ah, yes. You have the Vimes profile, certainly, but not the Vimes ears. Of course, your maternal grandmother was a clamp."
The Vimes hand gripped the Vimes sword again. There was only one type of person that had that much strength in a body so apparently frail.
"I thought so. You are a vampire," he said. "You're a bloody vampire."
It might have been a laugh, it might have been a cough.
"Yes, vampire indeed. Yes, I've heard about your views on vampires. Not really alive, but not dead enough, I believe you have said. I think that is rather clever. Vampire, yes. Bloody, no. Black puddings,
Yes, the acme of the butcher's art.